one of the tough questions that skeptics ask, and we have, I think the first time I understood this, it was, I don't know, more than a sense of relief, it was a sense of rejoicing, a sense of pride that God had taken care of our Bible in such a way. The question is this: hasn't the New Testament changed by repeated copying? You know, if I give Cheryl a paragraph and ask her to write it out, and then pass hers to Gary, and Gary writes, copies it, and passes his back to Donna, and she writes it out. By the time we get around here to Olivia, here at the front, chances are things got missed, skipped. There was a word that Levi didn't understand, had a hard time writing down. So, you know, and that's what they expect, that maybe we just didn't like that word, so we copied it something else. Well, this is a common misconception because they don't realize that this isn't just some story that got copied over and over again, that a new translation goes back to as close to the original as we can get. Accusations abound, zealous monks changing the biblical text throughout church history. But this issue is of great importance, since an altered text would actually do grave damage to the credibility of the story. Frederick Fivey Bruce, that's why they call him F.F. Bruce, died in 1990, was a Bible scholar who supported the historical reliability of the New Testament. He said this: the historical once-for-allness of Christianity, which distinguishes it from those religious and philosophical systems which are not specially related to any particular time, makes the reliability of the writings which purport to record this revelation a question of first-rate importance. We are a religion of the book. We are believers in what God's word says. So Hinduism, lots of people are writing through the many, many years, hundreds of books, and you just have to pick and choose. We have one Bible. So if it got messed up, then this is a very, very serious thing. Fortunately, the problem is not a lack of evidence. And there are three different types of evidence that are to be used in evaluating the New Testament text. Number one, the Greek manuscripts. We have almost an embarrassment of riches with the finding of these Greek manuscripts. The New Testament was originally composed in the Greek language, as you know, the Old Testament in the Hebrew and in the Chaldean. There are approximately 5,500 copies in existence that contain all or part of the New Testament. 5,500. Nothing, no other ancient work has that many things. Although we don't have the actual originals, I'm not sure we would know if we did, but all the evidence is that these are copies from a later time. The copies exist from a very early date. These are not copies of copies of copies. These are perhaps the very copies from the originals. So the New Testament was written about AD 50 to AD 90. The earliest fragment dates about AD 120. See, that's just a few tens of years from the actual writing of it. And there's about 50 other fragments dating within 150 to 200 years of the time of composition. Now remember that, 150 to 200, we have over 50 that end up get dating from that. And then by comparing to that, we can see that the others are correct as well. Two major manuscripts, Codex Vaticanus, that was produced about 325, and Codex Sinaiticus, about 350, a complete copy, date within 250 years of the time of composition. This may seem like a long time span, but it's actually minimal compared to most ancient works. What do the other ancient works have to say for themselves? Well, the earliest copy of Caesar's The Gallic Wars, and you go to any bookstore and find that, a translation of it, and nobody says, of course, we don't know who made this up and all this. They say, Caesar wrote this. You know, it's just, that's the way they think about it. That earliest copy was made 1,000 years after it was written. Our 150 to 200 years, 250 years, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? The first complete copy of the Odyssey by Homer was made 2,200 years after it was written. That's the earliest copy that we have. When the interval between the writing of the New Testament and the earliest copies is compared to other ancient works, the New Testament proves to be much closer to the time of the original. The 5,500 copies are far and away the most we have of any ancient work. Many ancient writings have been transmitted to us by only a handful of manuscripts. That's like five. Catullus, which is one of the early history books, three copies. That's all, three. We have 5,500. Three copies, and the earliest one is 1,600 years after he wrote. Herodotus, one of the Italian Roman histories, we only have eight copies of his manuscripts, of the manuscripts of that copy. And the earliest one is 1,300 years after he wrote. So we have the manuscript evidence. We have, especially with the book of the Revelation, which was written last, we have one of the earliest of the manuscripts with that. So it's we can say this isn't hearsay. We have the ancient copies. The second thing is that there are various versions in which the New Testament is translated. So not only do we have the manuscript evidence and that close interval between the time it was written and the time that we have the first copy, but they were also translated into several other languages at an earlier rate. Now, at an earlier date, the translation of a document into another language was rare in the ancient world. You know, it took a work that somebody said was vastly important to go through the work of translation. So this is an added plus for the New Testament. The number of copies of the versions, and particularly the ancient versions, is in excess of 18,000. So what it means is at that time, in that place, this is what they were translating. You can work backwards from the translation. Possibly as many as 25,000. So it's further evidence that helps us establish the New Testament text. And then the third is the writings of the church fathers. Even if we did not possess the 5,500 Greek manuscripts or the 18,000 copies of the early versions, the text of the New Testament could still be produced from a time 250 years from its composition. How do we know that? Because the writings of the early Christians, in commentaries and in letters, they quote the biblical text. They're writing sermons. They're writing letters encouraging people. They're saying, no, we can't believe that because the Bible says this. And they're quoting it. And you can find enough to get the whole New Testament by collecting these church fathers. That gives us another witness to the New Testament text. John William Burgon, 1813 to 1888, was an English Anglican divine, meaning a religious person, who became the dean of Chichester Cathedral in 1876. He is remembered for his passionate defense of the historicity and the Mosaic authorship of Genesis and of biblical inerrancy in general. Now, here's why we bring him up. He cataloged more than 86,000 citations by the early church fathers who cite different parts of the New Testament. Well, I'm just flabbergasted that he had that much time and effort and knowledge. 86,000 he identified, they were quoting the New Testament. Thus, we observe that there is so much more evidence for the reliability of the New Testament text than any other comparable writing in the ancient world. Start comparing us with those other ancient texts, and we got it covered. Again, F.F. Bruce. The evidence for our New Testament writings is ever so much greater than the evidence for many writings of classical authors, the authenticity of which no one dreams of questioning. In another place he says, if the New Testament were a collection of secular writings, their authenticity would generally be regarded as beyond all doubt. Let me close with another testimony. Sir Frederick George Kenyon, 1863 to 1952. Guy lived a long time. Was a British paleographer. Paleo is ancient things and graph of the writings. And a biblical and classical scholar. Classical scholar means he knew the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin and was familiar with all the standard works. So a very educated man. He was one of the foremost experts on ancient manuscripts and their authority, and held several positions with the British Museum. Shortly before his death, he wrote this concerning the New Testament. The interval between the dates of original composition of the New Testament and the earliest extant, still in existence, evidence becomes so small as to be, in fact, negligible. And the last foundation for any doubt that the Scriptures have come down to us substantially as they were written has now been removed. In his time, in his day, by his study, he says there is no doubt. All the doubt has been removed. Both the authenticity and the general integrity of the books of the New Testament may be regarded as finally established. And so you don't get much of an authority greater than this man, Sir Frederick Kenyon. So the question was asked and answered, and somebody trying to be mocking about that question is going to be a little embarrassed that they brought it up, because you just happened to hit one of our strong points. So you will not remember all these details, but perhaps you can remember that we have over 5,000 Greek manuscripts to deal with. We have over 18,000 translations, ancient translations, and we have quotes from the early Christian writers, enough to rewrite the entire New Testament. That answers the question. It wasn't something copied over and over and over again. It was something repeatedly translated from or copied from the very early documents. Comments or questions? Yes, sir.
I wanted to add, top of all of that, for a long time they said, well, we just don't know whether what we have is accurate or not. And then the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, and some of those go way back.
That's right.
That's right,
although that was dealing with the Old Testament. Yeah, but that was true. And because it was the Old Testament and therefore removed from us by a couple more thousand years, they were saying, well, you know, surely it couldn't have been preserved. Especially with Isaiah, they had almost convinced people that Isaiah maybe wrote half of it, and then a second Isaiah, wrote the second part. And that somewhere along the line sounded close enough that somebody put it together. And then the Dead Sea Scrolls found the entire scroll of Isaiah, all in one, not even a piece of scotch tape to put two pieces together. In the Holy Land today, in the Dead Sea Scrolls Museum, they have a building that's built like one of the clay pots where they found the scrolls. And the scroll inside the building is a great big thing that comes up through the center of the building, and around it is the Isaiah scroll, and you can look at it and read it or pretend to read it as you look at it. But there it is, you know. And historically, no question now, all their imaginations have fallen through by the fact.
I guess my one thing would be King James had it translated to English.
Mm-hmm.
And going back that many years, the understanding of the Greek and Hebrew language, is it as accurate as it would have been back then? You know, I mean, I think we have the best there is, but,
yep,
you know, how accurate is the knowledge of that language back then when he had it translated?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that since you're actually translating an ancient language, the further back you go, probably the better it got, the closer to the originals. The real question is, have we kept enough of that knowledge to do it accurately today? And with all of the work that's been done in archaeology, finding these things, what archaeology has done is to find us other Greek things that use those words. And we see now another context. When Brother Jeb was taking us through 1 Corinthians 13, and it was listing all the things that love is, one of the things that he brought up to us over and over again is, this isn't actually a context. This is just sort of a listing. So it says this about it, but it's not like he's telling a story that we can fit in what the meaning is of that word. He's just listing things. So when they found the papyri in a city, starts with N, I forget where that is. Here it was kept dry, and the papyrus, we get our word paper from this papyrus, and these were reeds that were woven in, pressed flat, and so it was actually a vegetable paper. So it didn't last very long, but this was preserved in some way. Well, this was such a great find, and this was actually the turning point to understand that the New Testament Greek was not some sort of special. They were calling it, guessing that it was some kind of Holy Spirit Greek, because it was unlike all the classical Greek they were reading. They found out it was Koine Greek. It was the Greek of the common man. It wasn't the Greek of the politician or the philosopher or the legal people. It was of the common man. This was what you wrote your grocery list on and stuff like that. So with that, then they had letters and biographies and things like this that they could actually understand how that word was used in the context and bring it into the understanding of the New Testament. That's helped us out quite a bit. And they didn't have that in the early times. But, for instance, our King James translation, they had gathered together some of these men. You know, I can look up any Hebrew word, see how many times it's used in the Bible, how many times it's used in exactly the same form, because it's all on my computer. I can look it up by number. These guys didn't have a computer. Theirs broke that day. They had it. They knew it. They knew it flat. They knew it pat. these were some of the greatest scholars the world's ever known, and dedicated Christians. And everyone was in awe of the scholarship brought to that. So, they knew what they were talking about. And the Textus Receptus, going back, the Greek manuscript for the New Testament that they used for the most part, they compared other manuscripts, but that was the one that they felt came the closest to the original. So that's the Greek manuscript Brother Pastor Miru is using to translate for the Ethiopian people as well. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to comment. That gives us a little more insight into the work that Pastor Miru is doing,
mm-hmm.
and how awesome a responsibility it is to get it right.
That's right, to be writing the text of what the people will say is the Word of God. Cannot be undertaken lightly, and neither is it. But such an important work. The ability to read it in your own language is a privilege beyond expression.